Okay, back to senior year. We had a little bit of a discrepancy, but we're back. Senior year, what I was going to ask you before we went through the little split, what was your coach telling you during your senior year? What advice was he giving you?
You know, pretty much play with the team. You know, be a team player, but take over when it's time to take over.
Okay, so he told you basically just to take over. What was he telling you in regards to schools and colleges?
Well, coach, he was like, yeah, he was keeping it real with me. He let me take what schools that I like. He'd give, like, you know, he was just telling me it's all about being professional and all of this, you know what I'm saying? I always keep it professional. Most probably, like, attitude on the court. I used to have that bad a little bit when I was in high school, but I grew out of that quick. You know, showing like all the little attitude and the mood swing and stuff on the court like that. Yeah, I was doing that at one point in time, and I had to stop. But then that, it was just like, you know, go out, play hard, man. And the coaches like you, they like you, you know. Never put your head down if you don't get an offer that you really want. Just keep grinding. Everything that you got coming is going to come to you.
Perfect. Yeah, that's the way that it's supposed to be. A coach is always supposed to guide you in the right direction in order to make sure that you get to where you need to be. The reason why I ask this is because there's a lot of coaches that don't even care about their players. There's a lot of coaches that they just tell their players what they want to hear. They don't really put too much interest in them in regard to, okay, I'm going to try to get you to the next level. I'm going to try to get you to where you want to be. It looks as if your coach was really focused on helping you out and making sure that you got to that D1 level because he knew that you wanted to get to that D1 level.
Yeah, for sure. No, he helped me out. He helped me out a lot, like showing me things in practice, you know, saying things to, like, getting coaches to making an interview happen with the Chicago Tribune. Like, there's a lot of stuff, you know, as a coach, they did their part.
That's dope. Okay, so we talked about senior year a little bit. Let's go to the end of senior year. You already knew that senior year was pretty much going well. Let's talk about towards the end of senior year season and playoffs. But what was going on during that time?
So the end of senior year, I want to say, I think we got knocked out of City, like, third or the fourth round. I forgot who got knocked out, but it was in high school. Then the state, we did good. Then we ran into City on that year. I mean, they were just the best team at the time. They got, what, 2 NBA players? They had 5 D1 players, really more than 5. Like, their whole bench was D1 too. So, you know, it was the best team. For sure. They got out with our glamour that day. Can't even say too much about
that. What NBA players did they have?
Kendrick Nunn and Jabari Parker.
Oh, you played against Kendrick Nunn?
Yeah, I played against that 2013 Simeon thing. You know, they won state 4 years in a row that year. And I was in Jabari class.
Wow, that's crazy. So, those two know who you are. You can walk up to them niggas and dap them up right now, and everything's all good.
Yeah, they know who I am. Of course, everybody in Chicago really pretty much is you a hooper. They're hooping around the same people, you know, stuff like that. If you're a hooper in Chicago, you know what you know.
That is amazing. It's good that you were able to hoop with NBA guys to get your experience up and just go against the top competition. That's crazy. Kendrick Nunn's doing his thing right now. He's on the Heat, right?
Yeah, he's on the Heat. Shout out to him. Yeah, he's for sure doing his thing.
That's
cool. Oh, hey, I love everybody who comes from Chicago, man. You know, and so represent. Yeah, he's for sure represent.
That's dope. Okay, so. Senior year's getting ready to end. So let's talk about your offers after senior year of high school. After senior year was done, what new schools were looking towards you?
Okay, so right then and there, so after my stint, yeah, I had a lot of schools that were interested, but the school that offered was, it was Tulane, like I said, at the Belfast, they went state, and I had interest from a lot of D1s. The only thing that kept them off was I had to get cleared through the clearinghouse. You see what I'm saying? I wasn't cleared through the clearinghouse at that time. See, I took the ACT, I got the ACT, I finally got the ACT score that I needed to go D1. I think it was a 21 or a 24, one of those two. But I ended up getting that. And then what we ended up finding out was I didn't take the necessary classes in high school that needed to be transferred to the clearinghouse. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So my high school didn't give me the right classes. Remind you, I'm like the first person out of my high school to go D1. So like my counselor was telling me, they never really been through this process, so they didn't know they felt. So they tried to like do a motion, like go to court, like you hear me for. But at the end of the day, they had sent a letter back saying like they understand that it's it was a bad situation. But at the end of the day, the rules are now the classes, so I would have to go JUCO. So I went to a prep school and tried to do the prep and go from prep to D1. But the prep classes that I had, I don't even think those transfer over. So I just end up going JUCO. See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I started going through a crazy ride after school, man. And for all of the players out there, man, make sure y'all know what's going on in these situations. Don't try to do it yourself. Y'all need some help. Get some help. I was trying to just do it myself. I should have been really trying to, you know, looking this stuff up for myself, telling them this and that, instead of depending on other people. But
yeah. For all athletes out there, also on a side note, school and grades are very, very, very important. If you're basketball, at one point the ball gonna stop bouncing. Like you gotta get your education, you gotta make sure your grades are up, you gotta make sure you're going to class, because these are things that are gonna make you into a better person as you get older, and it's gonna mold you into a better person as time goes on. So you always gotta make sure, and on top of that, with this whole entire time when we're talking about high school and everything that Chris has done, he was a student athlete first. So his grades always came first. Everything he did in school always had to come first. And we're about to get into deeper depth with all that stuff when we talk about his college stuff. So just make sure that you do what needs to be done when it comes to school. And also, speaking of the whole NCAA clearinghouse ACT thing, they I don't know if you know, Chris, but they waived it, where like a lot of these kids now, they don't really, I think that their ACT scores don't, they're not really going by that anymore. How do you feel about that? About them canceling?
Yeah,
all
no, I see a lot of stuff that's going on, man, with college and high school. That's just crazy. I really wish that I could have did, but I didn't know about none of that. You see, and there's a lot of people that's reclassing, trying. You see, and then like I said, people who don't even meet the grade. Like, there's a lot of new stuff that's going on now. You see, they're trying to make it to win college. You should be at a profit off your name. You see, like, I feel like in college, if you could profit off of my name, I would have definitely made money off my name in college.
Right? Yeah, oh, definitely. I bet you them Galbraith
jerseys. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So I was like, man, that's crazy. But hey, shout out to the kids who do get to get that, man. Take advantage of that. Do your thing. You only get one shot, man.
It's
going to be so long, like you said. You can bounce the ball, man. You better take advantage of it while you can.
Definitely. So now we're going to fast forward. We're going to go into the time capsule a little bit, move forward a little bit. Chris graduated from high school. You know what I'm saying? Some stuff has to go on with the clearinghouse and the academic stuff. So now Chris is at a JUCO. Southwestern Illinois, correct?
Yeah, before that, I went to prep school in Iowa.
Okay.
It's Quakerdale Eagles. That was the name of it.
Okay. How'd you do there? Yeah. How'd you do there stat-wise?
I did real well there. I was like 20-something and 10. Shout out to my coach Dwayne Melt. That was probably like my top coach for sure. I was going to shout him out, man. He let me play point guard. That was the first person that really let me play point guard. You hear me? Let me tap into my guard bag.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
So after that prep year, did you garner any more interest from Division I schools?
Yeah, I for sure had a lot of D1s out of prep school. We was beating ranked JUCOs in prep school. Yeah, like we was for real, yeah. Shout out to my boys who I had in my prep school, Tyshawn Johnson. Ain't doing this thing in the pro, and I'm gonna go with Pete. My boy Thomas Wiley, he plays for the Chicago Bulls G League team. So, yeah. My boy Darren Groves, yeah. Shout out to them. We all still hooping, doing our thing.
Yeah, that's big. Prep school is definitely a big step, it's a big advantage, and it's another tool that helps kids to grow. Mentally and physically and skill set wise, and I'm happy you're able to go to
prep school. We was younger playing, like, you feel me, the older JUCO kids. And the JUCO kids, they played, some of them played D1, came down. It was a lot of people that we played. Off the show, like that type of competition. Because it was like, we were still, I want to say kids, we were just coming out, we was trying to get like more older, like, you know, I like it. Man.
Okay, so. Now, you're done with prep school. Give me the rundown on the ending of prep school to first year of your college season. Tell me what's going on. Tell them about the...
All right, so after prep, I end up still kind of going D1. So I was like, all right, cool. I go to the JUCO SWIC, Southwestern Illinois Community College. I got down there in the summertime. We worked out with the guys. We were a cool group of guys. Both years, I would say, was nice. Can we get going to that? You want to go into that right now?
Yeah, go into that.
All right, cool. So, all right, my first year at JUCO, I want to say, I did nice. My first year at JUCO, I was like 13, probably like 13 and 6, 13 and 7. Running two majors, because that year, my first year, I ain't going to lie, we got a lot of sophomores on our team, you feel me? Everybody trying to go D1, so, you hear me? I was efficient, but it was only enough balls to go around for everybody, you see what I'm trying to say. So, my sophomore year, we did all right. We ended up losing, what was that year? Oh, we lost the first round, yeah. I think we lost the first round my freshman year in JUCO. And we was one of the top teams. You see what I'm saying? We was on the top team. But like I said, we had more sophomores, so my coach was like more leaning on the sophomores, letting the sophomores rock out that year. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to them for doing their thing. You feel me? I definitely tried to help, but yeah, he was more so letting them rock. They had a D1. It was more like that for my freshman year. So, I mean, it's everybody's story. Yeah, it's everybody's story. Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. So. That first round that you guys lost, do you remember what the score was?
We ended up losing by like two. I don't want to fault our big man, but I mean, we lost by one. We set up a play at the end for our big man. He got the wide open hook shot by himself, and he just didn't make it. So.
Well, as long as the game was close and competitive and you guys only lost by 2 points, you guys don't got anything that holds your heads down about. That was a really good game to look like.
Yeah, it was. So, I mean, we got to that year, cool. We got a couple new recruits now. My sophomore year, JUCO, like, as he did his first year, he was leaning towards more on his sophomore. So, this was the more year I got to rock out. You see what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So, this is the year. Yeah, this now is like 16-10, a double-double JUCO. We won 19 games straight. We was ranked top five out of the JUCOs this year. Top 10 or top five. I don't want to mislead anybody, but yeah, for sure, we was doing our thing that year. My sophomore year, we did that. 19 games straight, we wasn't trying to talk. Ranked in the top. We was doing our thing. We ended up losing in the game to go to Hutch. My junior year, we lost in the game to go to Hutch to Vincennes. We beat them 2 times in the regular season that year. We beat them at our house and at their house, and then we ended up losing in the championship game to get to state. As I said, something about me not seeing it through that I just haven't been liking so far. You know, I'm kind of going ahead, break that. I need some jewelry on my head.
Okay, man. That's sophomore year is definitely big. You're supposed to do better sophomore year than freshman year when it comes to jewelry.
Yeah.
So it looks like Coach gave you the green light to do what needs to be done, and you did it, which is great. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Hey, side note for everybody else, I'm gonna give a lot of side notes. There's nothing wrong with playing basketball at a JUCO. There's nothing wrong with it.
Jimmy Butler went JUCO.
College basketball is college basketball. You get an offer to play at a JUCO, take advantage of it, and just rock out. Just do your thing. Like, JUCO is the perfect platform to move forward and get additional looks. If you're trying to go D1, D2, whatever it is, you want to get more colleges to look at you, and you want more colleges to see, okay, he's mature, he was able to take that route and be humble about it, the coaches aren't gonna gravitate towards you. So there's nothing wrong with playing at a JUCO. You know what I mean? Chris took that route, and he came up big. He wasn't, I mean, he just went out there and just did his thing, man. Chris is gonna rock out wherever you put him. He just wants to hoop. You know what I'm saying? He just wants to hoop at the end of the day. He wants to go D1, but he wants to hoop. So he's always gonna take advantage of wherever he's at. So what's going on? You're done with
I'm done at JUCO.
Uh-huh.
Done at JUCO. I had, three offers after that, being Wichita, Illinois, Sam Houston State. And just off of talking, I would just say I didn't want to wait to sign. I felt like I could have waited and got more offers, but I didn't want to wait to sign. I wanted to get what was a good situation, the best situation out of those teams that I thought, and just go ahead and sign and get it over and get ready to, you know, rock out wherever I go. I ended up choosing Sam Houston State, and yeah, that's where I landed at D1 at. So that's why I played my junior and my senior year. So I would like to say my junior year, I introduced myself to the league nicely. I got like 3 weeks of being player of the week. You know what I'm saying? Did I get all region? I don't know. I forgot what team I got my first year. I forgot. I don't even know. But yeah, I did nice my first year at D1. I feel like it just introduced me to a lot. You know what I'm saying? Just like how you go from playing JUCO, and then when you first get there, it might be a little different than you just, you know, it's all about being comfortable. You just got to adapt. But that's what I did. And yeah, so my first year, I did nice. I did all right for my first year for sure. And then my second year is when my coach really let me, just like I had JUCO, he let me rock out. He like gave me the green light my second year. My last year, that me being my senior year. And yeah, that's when it all happened. Like, I think I was like 16, like 8. I got first team all conference. I went to the Alaska shootout. I got first team in the Alaska shootout I went to. I was all region, all conference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was top. I was top 10 in points, top 5 in rebounds in the league. So I feel like I solidified myself for sure.
And just like I said before, ladies and gentlemen, Google is powerful. If you can Google all of this, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Everything is there. Everything Chris is saying, just Google it, and it's right there, and it'll give you a nice little overview of how his junior and senior year went. But, and there's always a but, we need to dig further into those two college years. Chris gave you the little overview, but now there's some stuff that I want to know. There's some stuff that the people want to know about what really went on. Now, let's rewind back. Let's pull it back to that first year at Sam Houston State. Being on campus, the atmosphere. How did you feel about the school being on campus, going out at certain times? How was it?
Yeah, so this was me. For me, this is my first time ever being around this many people, you feel me? I'm from the city. No, I wouldn't say being around this many people, but being around this many different ethnicities, you feel me? Like, there's a lot of different type of people, and then it wasn't no violence, you know what I'm saying? So this is like my first time really on a college campus. It was definitely a big campus. A lot of people went to the school. Like, I see somebody, like, my second year, I was seeing people, in my first year, I was seeing people, like, every day. Like, new people every day. Like, say if it was the last day of school, and I'm like, I wish you were here, I've never seen you. You feel me? It'd be like that. Like, it's just, like, crazy like that. Because everybody don't do online. Everybody do, like, offline. Some people be online classes. Some people be in the classroom, you know what I'm saying? So you just got to catch, you just see people when you see people. Then he being a hooper, like a lot of people like, no, he's like, you know, 6'7", 6'6". It's not that hard to really see me on the college campus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then once we started playing and my name was ringing, it's like, yeah, it was all love for sure. I liked it. My teammates, for sure, shout out to all my teammates. They brought me in real nice. You know what I'm saying? I had an off-campus apartment with me and my boy at the Cars. Shout out to my boy at the Cars. He's like a movie producer now. Y'all should tune in if I'm in his films for sure. The Car Henderson, look him up.
Yeah,
but... Definitely. Yeah, but yeah, it was just, I liked it, man. It was nice. It was new. It was something different. See, I'm a city guy going to a country town, so it was a lot of different things I had to get used to, like the heat. Oh my God, I've never been so hot before. You feel me? Texas is a hot place. You hear me? That was my first time ever. Being so hot, my first day of school, I was putting the lotion on. You hear me? I'm going outside, I'm walking the cabins, I'm sweating bullets. I'm like, nah, I'm never putting lotion like this on again. You feel me? Yeah,
you're
crazy. Dude, you hear me?
It's definitely hot out there.
It's definitely hot. So I just had to adjust, man. Different people, but it was all love for sure, so. Yeah, I like it. It's cool for sure.
The nightlife down there. Did you go out every now and then on your free time, or how was that?
Yeah, I went out. I definitely like the party scene. Like I said, it was a nice school, especially when you know people. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like I was just going to parties by myself, not knowing people. I'm going out with my guys. We well known around the school, so it's like the parties was actually more lit just off of that.
Here you go. Definitely. Yeah, the reason why I asked that is because, I mean, the D1 college life can be, like, really stressful at times. So it's always good to, like, go out on weekends when you can and just kind of, like, you know what I mean, have fun and just let loose. Because, I mean, the schedule, we're gonna talk about season.
Yeah, that was all season. During the season, we really didn't have time for none of that.
Okay.
Well, all season, for sure, live it up.
Okay, yeah, because there are a lot of schools where every school, I mean, their curfews and how strict they are during the season.
We for sure had some of that.
It's different because you talk about a school like Marist and like schools like that, like where I went and got my undergrad, things like that. Those kids, like the hoopers there, that's D1 as well. They play in the MAC conference. They went out like every
year.
They went out every single fucking weekend. You know what I'm saying? They did whatever the hell they wanted to do. And you look at other schools like ECU or places like that. And I mean, the kids, you don't see the kids out at all during the season. They never got to go out. So it was good that you were in a system where you were able to focus and you were able to really only go out during the off season. So that during the season, you could do what you got to do to get those dubs. Now we're still on freshman year. We're not moving on yet. First year at
junior.
Sam Houston State. Yeah, junior year. First year at Sam Houston State. Give me the rundown, man. Like the toughest teams you had to play against, the adversity. What's going on?
So my first year D1 year, we faced a lot of adversity because we had a lot of seniors on the team, and it's just like the beginning of the season, we just wasn't clicking like that. So it was a lot of adversity. Like, we was losing some teams. Man, it was just like, come on, we way better than this. You know what I'm saying? So my first year, that was probably like the toughest year for me. Out of all of my basketball years, I would say my first year at D1 was the toughest year. Just going through the different things of starting and not starting and playing and just adjusting to a lot of different things that I never was used to, you see what I'm saying? I was never used to not. I wasn't just used to a lot of things that was going on, you see me? And I had to adjust. So I would say my first year definitely a lot of adversity. And I just want to say for the people that felt that, like, when you do hit a wall with D1, Don't just let that define you as a player. You just got to keep it moving, keep it pushing, and just keep getting better. At the end of the day, skills don't lie. You know what I'm saying? Stats don't lie. So you just got to do what you got to do.
definitely. Tell me about the schedule, the Monday through Friday.
Well, see, D1 was way different. Like, my JUCO, that's why I like my JUCO so much, because they had fake had me prepared for D1 already. Like, I didn't go to one of those JUCOs where you just did whatever you want. I went to a JUCO where we was lifting early in the morning, 3 times out the week, getting up at, being there at 6 o'clock. I mean, getting up at 5 times, you feel me? So I was already ready for that suicide, you feel me? Like, the off-season work, and, you know, like, certain D1s, they do things that my JUCO was already doing. So, like I said, shout out to my JUCO for that. So when I did get that, it wasn't as challenging. But for Sam Houston, we for sure was working out every day. We was always in the lab. We had extra time to get in the gym. You feel me? Weekends, the gym was available. Like, it was mad dope. Like, we had availability to, like, everything. Like, a normal day, I'll say before the season, some days, I want to, like, probably 3 days after the week, we'll run, 6 a.m. running. Then we'll have weights, like, probably around 10. Then after weights, practice. But that's just all season, and they all go off, like, the schedule. So it wouldn't just be, like, running, weights, and then the gym, like, back to back. Nah, it'd be a little spaced out, you feel me? Everybody run, then you got morning class. Then all in the afternoon, we all don't have classes after a certain time, so then we'll weight room, then practice. Well, sometimes we'll run in the morning, then you'll have different times to go in and work out in the weight room. But we had a train in the weight room, you feel me? So it was always, like, you know, some official type of work.
Yeah, that's solid, man. That D1 schedule is rugged, but you came up with a good point about the whole JUCO thing and going to a JUCO that kept you prepared. There's a lot of kids, man. They go to certain JUCOs where, yeah, the work ethic isn't solidified, and then they move up to that next level and they can't adjust. That happens to so many fucking kids. But I'm happy that my guy Chris was able to find a JUCO where, like you said, they're gonna keep him prepared, and they were gonna put through all types of obstacles. But by the time he gets to Sam Houston State, whichever D1 school he wanted to, he ended up at, he was already put on game. And I'm happy that the schedule didn't really, like, it didn't bruise you that much. You were able to adapt very quickly. Now back to that junior year, that first year at Sam Houston. Tell us about some of these, like, elite, like, big time schools. What name, like, two or three schools that really gave you, like, a challenge?
My junior.
Yep, for junior.
I think we played Ohio State. I would say that was probably one of the toughest things, just because, I ain't gonna lie, we went there, and when we went there, the atmosphere was already, like, right. You see what I'm saying? And they came out the gate and had, like, this was, like, one of my first games, D1. You know, when you D1, you tend to play the real high major school, so you don't know how major. I didn't go to a high major. So he's saying, oh, I made this first, you feel me? So that was like a wake-up call. And it really showed, like, what it was to be D1. Like, we played against them, and they hit, like, their first 7-3, like, 7-10, you feel me? And I want to say it was at least, like, 5 different people who was hit. You know what I'm saying? So it really just opened me up to, like, yeah, this is for real. You see what I'm saying? Like, you want to be elite. You gotta be elite. Like, they came out the gate, and I'm not saying they wasn't. He was guarding them at the 3-point line. So you just gotta just give you a gist of how far they were shooting. They were shooting that thing. So, yeah, for sure, that was probably the toughest one. I'll say the littest game we played, I'll probably say Arkansas. We played them at the, I forgot what arena we was in, but the whole come out on the lights, it was like a true NBA game. So that was probably like the most littest game I played at. Arkansas, they did their thing. Yeah, they showed a lot of love. That was
I know you played against LSU at one point. Was that junior year or that was senior year?
Senior year, that was my senior year.
Senior year with LSU? Okay. We're about to get into that.
LSU, I say LSU was challenging, but I have to go with, let me see, my senior year. Sports, we played Baylor that year too. I'll say, yeah, those are the two top teams we played. I won't say one was tougher than the other. They were both, like, up down the competition side. I played better at Baylor than I played at LSU. I think at LSU I had like 17. It was like an ultimate. It wasn't really a solid game to me. Too. It was just a I got my number type of game. But at Baylor, I had 30. I was wilding against them. They beat us, but I was wilding personally for sure. So yeah, those are two games. Yeah, I think I had a competition. Like how made y'all just like to show them that you know I'm just as elite.
So, for regular season for junior year, what do you remember the, your record for the regular season?
Nah, I don't remember our record, but I just want to say my both years we said we had a winning record. We never know how to win a record.
Yeah. Okay. So, playoffs for junior year, how'd that go?
Playoffs. I want to say we lost. Well, I think we lost in the second round. Lost in the second round my first year, and I think we lost in the. Let's see, had a bye day. We lost in the third round. Lost in the third round. Yeah. Our last year, we lost in the third round. Then went to the CIT, and we lost in the game before the championship. That was crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, we was in the CIT. We made it far. We made it in a game. Huh?
Keep going. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, we played, I think that was Colorado State. That game definitely on YouTube, too. You can check it out. I had like 26 that game. I ended up fouling out. But yeah, they beat us. And that was the game that we were supposed to play in Chicago next, too. I think it was a championship game or the game before the championship game. But yeah, we made it pretty fine that tournament, though. It was dope, though. You can we ain't make it to the NCAA, but we still had a chance to continue and play in some type of tournaments, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely, what I was going to say before, is there's definitely some tough losses that also help you to grow as well. I mean, I know how it feels to like really lose like a really like close game or like a tough game in like the playoffs or like towards the end of the year. Really take
yeah, you feel me? That was my last game, so yeah. That kind of hit me right there. You feel me? Like it's over, college is over. You feel me? That was like a real hard part. Yeah, because it's like I've been going through all these years. It was like this was what I was already going through. Like I said, now was another. This was another year of my life where I had to go somewhere else, changing that.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, throughout the whole experience at Sam Houston State, it looks like it helped you to grow a lot, and you learned a lot from that school, it looks like.
Yeah, no, I definitely learned like as a player. So I'm just being a player and just from a business side of the thing. You know, I have it's still a business at the end of the day, how everything works. I got really just opened my eyes up to see about the thing.
Definitely, bro. Okay, so we talked about junior year. We talked about senior year a little bit. Let's talk about senior year a little bit more. So senior year, let's get the backstory. What's going through your head during senior year? How are you feeling physically, mentally? How are you feeling overall your last year?
I was ten toes on go mode, man, ready to sacrifice and do whatever I had to do in the championship. And at the same time, me thinking, that was the only thing on my mind at that time, that I wanted some jewels, you know, and I was feeling like me being the player that I was, and being able to get that type of exposure and having that type of bond with my coach that he let me rock out, you know, I just want to be a pro, you know, I just want to end the day after I left that school, I was going to be a pro.
Okay, yeah, that's always the goal for D1 players is to be a pro. And it's good that you were focused throughout the whole entire year. What, for senior year, what was your career high? Actually, just throughout Sam Houston State, what was your career high? What game did you have the most?
My career high was 34.
34? Who'd you drop 34 on?
HBCU.
On
DC, I remember that game. Yeah, I remember that game. Now, what was that day out?
Okay.
And we won.
34, and you guys won. That's solid. How much did you have against LSU?
LSU, I think I had like 17 or 18. I had my best game against Baylor. I had 30.
30 against Baylor. Yeah, you mentioned that done on that. They were definitely a tough team to play. So you'd
have we played Mississippi State. I had 24-26 against them.
Okay. That's a solid win. That's a solid stat line for Mississippi State as well. Because Mississippi State always comes prepared for their games. I've done a little research on them in the past. It's a good team. For LSU, you played against Tremont Waters?
Oh, was he there? I don't think he was playing with me, but
he wasn't there?
Yeah. I wasn't there yet either.
Okay.
I graduated in 2018.
Who was there? On what? Brendan Sampson was there though, right?
Which one was he a light skinned guard?
Yeah, the light skinned nigga, B Sampson.
Yeah, he was there.
He was there. How'd you do against him?
I mean, I played solid against everybody, like I said, in our system of basketball, I was at the four, so I was pretty much guarding more bigger, but if I switched off on him, I for sure guard him, yeah. But for the main, it was like big, or if I came off a switch. I didn't play as a big, I wasn't in the paint, but height-wise, it's just what I had to guard.
Okay, so you feel, how do you feel about Brendan Sampson? You feel that he's a solid player? He's in the G League right now. How do you feel about him?
Yeah. I've been doing the same. Shout out to him. Just keep going, bro. I get my congrats to everybody. He's really solid that game.
Yeah. B-Stamp is pretty tough. So I feel like you and B-Stamp definitely good matchup. B-Stamp is a very tough player. Damn, it would have been dope. I wish Tremont was there when you fucking played LSU. That would have been fucking lit, bro.
Yeah, that would have been lit. And I would have guarded him, so.
That would have been lit. Nah, what would have happened was he would have gone past the first guard. He would have had to see you in the paint every single time because he's crabby. He likes to get into that fucking paint. He probably would have tried to go high up the glass on you. He would have tried to go high up the glass on you. He would have tried to go high off the glass, but Tremont's a very tough player. Shout out to Tremont Waters, man. He recently lost his pops too. Shout out to Tremont Waters. Shout out to LSU. Shout out to him. He's doing his thing right now with the Celtics and the Red Main. Is it the Red Main Claws? The G League team?
Yeah.
The main Red Claws. Main Red Claws. So shout out to him as well. Okay, so senior year is concluding. Let's talk about last thing with senior year. Let's talk about playoffs of senior year. Run us down through playoffs. What's going on?
Playoffs, we had a bye. We had a bye for the first round. We beat New Orleans. No. Who did we beat? I forgot his name to be first. I know we lost to New Orleans in the third round. The round of the championship game. We ended up losing to them, and then SFA ended up taking it all day.
Okay.
Even if all. Yeah, and that's what happened that year.
Okay. So it didn't go the way you wanted it to go senior year. Let's do a little imagination right now. Let's say you guys won that conference chip and you were in the NCAA tournament. Chris Galbraith. The NCAA tournament. How do you think that would have went if Sam Houston State got into the NCAA tournament?
I would have for sure went to the league. That's why I was in the NBA counseling like that. And I was already doing my thing, Even if I didn't go to the league, I would get a lot of attention. I would get a lot more attention than I had recently for sure.
Yeah, that's a definite because I mean for like the mid major schools and schools like that, I mean we're gonna talk
you get
about
the most
well.
Exposure in that, yeah. In that tournament like that. Yeah.
You guys have to work twice as harder as like the high major schools because like for the high major schools they have NBA personnel that come to the practices. So it's like they already get to they're already in that type of environment. They get to build a reputation with them. So it doesn't matter whether they go to the NCAA tournament or not. Speaking back on LSU, they didn't go to the NCAA tournament, but I mean Ben Simmons was what? Number one pick? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like so there's a lot of stuff going on with that. So yeah, we've spoken about college. Let's talk about that a little bit with like the whole MBA thing and like certain schools. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the whole thing where, I mean, you guys have to work like a school like Sam used to say, which is like a mid-major, solid mid-major school. You guys have to work three times as hard as the Kentuckys, the Dukes, the Louisville, the North Carolina. How do you feel about that? You feel like that's fair or what's up?
Nah, I mean, that's what comes with that, you feel me? If you're blessed enough to get in that situation, then that's just what it is. If you're not, you know, you just, you gotta do what you gotta do. I never was the one to just, like, look at somebody else or something like that. I go based off mine, so whatever I end up going, you know, that's what I gotta do. I have my vision. Put that up for everybody who did get to experience that, you know?
Yeah.
That sounds dope.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to them. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of hard work just being D1 in general. It doesn't matter where D1, but just D1 in general is just a blessing. And I mean, you took full advantage of it. And I've always been proud of you. You know, I always tell you that I'm proud of you. And that's just it. You handled your situation. You took Sam Houston State by the throat and you choked it. And that was it. I mean, you choked. You killed when you was out there, first team all everything. That's all that matters at the end of the day. Now, moving forward now we're going to kind of talk about like what's going on currently. So after Sam Houston State, now we're prepping for the pros. What went on right after Sam Houston State was over? We're done with graduation and all that stuff. What's going on afterwards? Tell me about it.
So after that, I ended up playing in the G League Showcase. From the G League Showcase, I tried out for Santa Cruz Warriors. I signed up for the Boston Red Cross and also the Knicks D League team. I forgot the name of it.
Westchester
Knicks, yeah. So I tried out for those three teams. Unfortunately, didn't make neither of those three. Some teams wasn't looking for my position at the time. Some teams just didn't pick me. But from there, I went to Bulgaria, stayed down there for like a month or so. Situation didn't go well. I ended up bouncing to Australia. I played nice in Australia. I had like 28 in the game before. And also when I was out there in Australia, it was like my game, I had 28. I was out there doing my thing. And now I recently just signed with ES Lusitania team. It's in Portugal, Spain, and I'll be leaving out. And also, everybody just be on the lookout for me, man. You know, games gonna be streamed live. Y'all want to follow me on Instagram, PG_PrimeTime. It's going up. I'm making a name for myself. I'm back. This is about to be another season of real life excitement, man. I'm still on that dream. I'm still on my journey again to the league. Everybody got a different lane, like I said. So I'm going to get to where I'm going when it's time. So everybody just come in, man. I'm about to go crazy in the term staying up for sure.
That's a definite. That's a Fendi fact, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to those live stream games. But that was the overview of what's going on. Now we got to rewind back again. You said you went to, what was it, Bulgaria after college?
Yeah.
What happened over there? Why didn't it go well?
It just wasn't the right fit for me, the team and everything. When I went down, that was more like a trial for both parties had to agree before I fully signed and played with them. And yeah, so after that, like I said, it wasn't the right fit. Everything is not for everybody, so I ended up not going there. I stayed down there for some time, and it didn't work out for both parties. So I ended up leaving there, and then that's when I made it to Australia.
Before Australia, when you say Australia, you're talking about the Willington Tigers, right?
Willington Tigers, yeah.
Before Australia, let's get into where I met you. At the Portsmouth B-Ball Summit. Let's talk about that because that's all.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, sir.
We're going to talk about that a little bit because other than the B-ball some, other than the portion of the B-ball some, did you go to any other combines that were similar to that or no?
Nah.
Nah? That was the only one you went to?
I went to that one. Like I said, I had the G League Showcase. I had that one. Oh, and I went to a Mike Hart camp in Vegas.
Okay. Okay. So, for the B-ball summit, who told you about that B-ball summit? Who put you on to that?
Alex. Alex is close, one of my close guys. He's been seeing me since I've been playing at San Houston State. He liked my game. He invited me down. He invited me. So.
Definitely. Shout out to Alex Ortiz doing this thing in Houston. If you need some training, hit up Alex because he's tough with it. Chris will tell you, very, very, very tough with his training. His training, he's doing very well down there. And he's also an agent for the B-Ball Summit. So shout out to Alex and reach out to him if you're in Houston and you want any training. He'll definitely help you out. So let's talk about the B-Ball Summit just for a little bit. I already know how it went, but tell the people how do you think that went?
Oh, I feel like I played solid in that tournament, man. If not the top players, definitely one of the top players in the gym for sure, man. It shows, and we still have the fam, it definitely shows, man. Everybody in there did that thing. Like I said, shout out to Alex, man. It was definitely good competition in there, but I feel like I came there and did what I had to do.
Definitely. Yeah, let me tell everybody, when I seen Chris play, I was like, I told Alex, like, yo, Chris has a high motor. Chris has a very high ceiling. And then, honestly, if I had to pick who's my favorite, like, 4 or 5 spot in that whole camp, I'm saying Chris. Like, I even told Alex, like, I don't really think, honestly, if Chris is at 100%, I don't really think anybody at that position here is really going to fuck with Chris, honestly. I can't remember anybody else at that position that could really, like just face-to-face, like, really, like stop Chris in the pants. Like, I mean, there's a lot of decent guards, but, I mean, Chris isn't a guard. But, I mean, as far as big, I'm going with Chris. If I had to pick, like, a top five from that camp for the fourth spot, I'm going with Chris. And I told Alex that, like, that was when I knew, like, yes, like, and everybody was telling me that Chris was first team all everything at Sam Houston, and that was just when I was just like, yeah, Chris has a lot going for him right now, and I hope he gets to where he needs to go. For real.
That was 2 years ago. Now times two. Why is go ahead throw me in that guard four category now? Lit.
Yeah, definitely lit. Definitely going up. Now B-Ball Summit's over with. You're waiting for a. And I also want to talk to you about the tour, because I mean I might end up going to whenever that comes up. I want to talk to you about the tour. But before we talk about the tour, Wellington Tigers, you get down there. Tell me everything. You didn't tell me much. You told me like how certain games went. But just tell me your experience. Tell me how it went down there in Australia. How was it?
Man, it was lovely. As soon as I came down there, the coach picked me up, showed me love, brought me to the apartment I was staying in. I was staying with a guy from New York. That's my boy. Shout out to Mo. We was doing our thing. We was the only two Americans on the team. And just, like, experience-wise, man, the team accepted me for who I was. You know, they really loved me out there. I met a lot of friends from Australia. You know, the team, we used to have, like, team events. You know, we always just have fun, you know, like I said. Their team is more like a family-oriented team type, too, so I liked it that stuff. You know, it helped me get comfortable because I'm all the way out the country. I don't know nowhere, you feel me? The streets is on, like, okay, so I need to run down to Australia. Everything on a different side than America. So, say, like, on the other side, like, so, like, stairway on the left, over there, stairway on the right. The windshield wipe is on the right, over there, the windshield wipe is on the left. How we drive on the left side of the street going one way, they drive on the right side of the street going the same way, you know what I'm saying? So it was just like, it was a lot, man. A lot of life to do. They had nice people, nice food, too. That was my first time eating lamb out there. Like, how we eat chicken, like, how our main, for real, like, how our main food is chicken, they made food out there is like lamb. Like, how we all got chicken nuggets themselves, they got chicken nuggets just made out of lamb. Like, it was like, you see a lot of different stuff that I got to see, do.
That's
cool.
That's
I met a lot of new people. Some people I never thought I could meet, you know, people from all around the world. Got me well connected.
Definitely. Now, let's talk about the playing style out there. How was it? How was practices, the coach? Tell me what you saw. Is there anything that was like, that really stuck out, that was different from American style of play? Let us know.
No, it's like, I feel like basketball is basketball all over the world. It's like, everything really translates. Like, it's like all really like the same, like the same, not the same playing style. In America, we more like freestyle. And overseas, they more like clear structure. See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so other than that, it's like really no difference. It's just different players, different country, and a little different style. I mean, like me, you get buckets, you don't get them.
Yeah, definitely. And if you want to check out how Chris did in Australia, just YouTube that as well. Chris Galbraith, he has a little mixtape with the Wellington Tigers, and you can see their style of play, and you can see how he did and how he was able to adapt. So when you guys get a chance, make sure you guys look to that as well. Now let's talk about, I mean, the tour. Regardless, even without the tour, you would have found another contract anyway. But let's talk about the tour anyway. So tell me the format of the tour, the B-Ball Summit tour. Tell me the format. Tell me the format. Like, what day did you guys what day did you guys come back? Yeah, let's know.
So we all linked up in El Paso, Texas, then we crossed the border to Mexico together. And then from there, we were just on tour. We was going from, I think we went to like 4 different cities in 5 days, and we were just playing different things. Shout out to Mexico, they showed me a lot of love. The fan love was crazy. Everywhere we went, they wanted pictures, they wanted autographs. After every game, they run up, so they wanted pictures, autographs. So just shout out to them, the environment was crazy. I love the fan love, yeah. The fan love down there was crazy. The conversation was also good, too. And we faced some nice little people down there. There were some people down there that had some talent, for sure. But I did my thing. I felt like I said, before I played there, I hadn't played, like, professional, like, in that type of setting.
Yeah.
So that was good back for me. Like, my first game, I had, like 15, second game, I had, like, 18, 19, and then I went for like 20,000. Last game, I had 4. Feel me? Every day, every game, I'm just getting better and better and better. Just letting it come back to me. So that was just a taste of what I could do in 4 games. Just imagine what's going to happen in the season.
Definitely. As far as like hotel goes down there, you guys went to 4 different cities. You guys stayed in one hotel?
Nah, every city's new hotel.
Okay, every city you guys went to, you guys slept somewhere different.
Yeah. So, like, we was in Chichihuahua. I forgot the name of it, but that was a cool city, too. And we got to, like, we just didn't go to the cities and just cool at the hotel, you feel me? We got to look and see a little bit, too, you feel me? See a little different things out there in Mexico. Nice little city.
That's what's up, bro. That's what's up.
Yeah.
So this offer that you got from Spain, it didn't come from the B-Ball Summit, did it?
Nah, I mean, it come from the B-Ball Summit. My agent actually worked hard and got me a contract.
Okay, solid.
Shout out to my agent, Mike.
Yeah, that's your agent. So you got the contract offer. So let's talk about the contract offer. It's in Spain. What's the word with traveling and COVID and all that stuff? How's that gonna coexist?
Right now, man, it's all by, like, right now, it's all about word of mouth. As you can say, because, you know, COVID is just changed every day, so you can never really predict anything unless major change happens. But as far as the COVID out there, over there in that country, it's not as bad as it is in America right now. So everything is still set to, you know, play the regular catches. If anything changes, then I'll find out. But right now, yeah, they quit the play over there.
Okay, perfect. So, wow. You look back at everything from the beginning to the end, and you just kind of wrapped up. This is basketball life and just everything he had to go through. He went through a lot, my dog.
That's what I said, man. It's just enough for the week or so. You got to be tough. A lot of people just don't know.
Yeah,
proud about being strong.
I'm proud of you, man. You really went through a lot, from just playing like regularly in Chicago to San Houston to playing overseas in different countries. It's amazing, man. I wanted to do this with you because I know your story is just deep. Especially being from Chicago. Chicago is really a different type of
town. Yeah, for sure, man. A lot of people get caught up, you know. It's all about standing your own lane, man. A lot of people don't know how to do that. A lot of people just quit, that's what I'm saying. You gotta have a strong mind out there. There's a lot of things you can get into, but you know, that's why I said this road not for the weak, it's for the strong. Only the strong survive.
That's what I'm saying. I want this podcast, this episode, to get out to a lot of kids. Because I want a lot of kids coming up, even in Chicago. I hope you get this one out to a lot of kids in Chicago, too, once I break it down. Because I want the kids to realize, to really look that, yo, Chris really did it. Chris can do it. A lot of us can fucking do it. Because Chris really came from the bottom, man. That's one thing I always liked about you. You came from the bottom, bro. You welcomed me in with open arms, my nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, You've been my brother ever since, man. Like, for real. Like, and you always held it down for me. So, it's like, I want a lot of kids. I want people, even my people back at home in New York. I want my people to know who Chris Galbraith is, man. Tough, man. I'm telling you, man. I really want people to know who Chris is. Because Chris is coming. Don't think it's going to stop his fame. Like, once Chris really gets his feet wet, I really want to see Chris
in
the NBA jersey. That's what I'm waiting
man,
for.
Man, right that's now. And that's my outgoal for sure. Like I said, it's just like, man, sometimes you got to take a different route or you got to take different steps to lead to a destination. Some people might could just try straight to that destination. Other people might have to go through a little different obstacle.
That's scary, man. You should be very, very, very happy with just how everything went. Now, let's also talk about, like, the last thing. Future G League, NBA tryouts, Summer League. Is your agent going to stay active for those opportunities?
Can you say that one more time? My bad.
You're good. For future G League tryouts and things like that, Summer League, you're still trying to push to that ultimate stage, correct?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's definitely my outgoal. That's what I'm saying. Right now, I'm just trying to get my stats, man. Just show different teams what I can really do, you know, because I'm a way different player than just college ball. I really transform. I'm like a different type of player now. So I just want to get that out to the public. And I don't really want to talk about it. I just want to show them on video and with stats.
Definitely. And I know you will, bro. I know you will. So everybody, when you get the chance, real quick, let me pull that up. When you get the chance, go follow my guy. Go follow Chris, man. CG_PrimeTime. And just keep up with how he's doing. You know what I'm saying? Just keep up with the latest news and everything. He's gonna let people know from time to time on social media. So just stay tuned and just continue.
Yeah, I've been taking a little break from social media lately, but I'm back, man. I just signed, so there's gonna be a lot of new content coming too, man. The CG way, man. CG way is coming.
Definitely. And always try to search his name on YouTube, because he's like he just said, there's always going to be updates. He's always going to be playing. You never know what film you're going to see. And when you watch him play on YouTube and everything else, just study the way he plays. He's not no slouch. Like, this nigga really put on, everywhere he went, this nigga really put numbers up. So if you really want to be a high-motor, high-caliber player that performs at a high level, pay attention to his footwork, pay attention to the way he gets the shots off, and just try to emulate that in your game. And I'm talking to the fours and the three spots specifically. Try to emulate that in your game so that you can add on and inflate your stats. You know what I'm saying? Don't just watch his YouTube videos and be like, oh, yeah, damn, he's doing this, he's doing that, I'm so impressed. No, like, study it. When you watch highlights, try to study the person's videos and see how they do it. Because he's not just averaging 15, 20 and putting up all these numbers for nothing. There's a strategy behind it. So once you YouTube him and once you look at his stuff on his Instagram and any other social media he's on, just pay attention. That's all I'm going to say. But Chris, my guy, thank you for this interview. I appreciate it. I'm going to hit you up in the upcoming week to check up on you. Stay safe, you know what I mean? Stay inside, you know what I mean? Shit's still crazy out here. Just take it one day at a time, man. We're gonna talk real soon, my guy.
Yeah, for sure. Love my brother. You too, man. Stay up.
Definitely, bro. I'll talk to you soon, man.
All right.